stuff. Because if the church doesn't help equip us for the practical aspects of life, then who will? And parenting is a practical and real aspect. And if you don't think that's the case, you're here as a result of parenting. You had a mom and a dad that created you. Now, whether they remained your mom and dad, whether that was a good relationship or not, that's left maybe up to debate in this room. But every single one of us are as a result of some kind of parenting. And parenting affects all of us. It influences all of us. So some of you here today, maybe your parents, fantastic, God has a word for you. Maybe some of you here today are grandparents, and your kids are out of the house, but you're now doing the grandparent thing. God has a word for you today. Maybe you don't have children, but you know somebody who does. You have an extended family that does. And God is going to give you a word today to be a blessing to them and to help them. Or maybe just God wants to say something to you in general about relationships. Now, when it comes to the parenting relationship, there is not a greater joy in my life and not a greater challenge in my life all wrapped into one. Can I get an amen? I mean, it is both the most tremendous blessing in the entire world, but it's also the greatest challenge. And so take, for example, one of my favorite moments of the day is when I get to leave work behind and go home and hug my kids and see some of my kids. Now, I still have some young ones that still run to the door and are glad that dad's home. You know, the older that we get and the older that I got, I was like, okay, dad's home, that's no big deal. But, you know, 9, 10, 11 years old, I still got a couple that say, daddy's home, and they give me a hug. And that's just the greatest experience in the whole world. I long for that. I look for that all day long. And then there's some days where I'm home for 20 minutes and I'm thinking, can I go back to work? Is there a meeting? Does somebody need to visit at a hospital? I mean, it's just that moment where it's just the greatest blessing of your entire life, but it's also one of the single greatest challenges. So we want to talk about that, because I think there are so many parents and grandparents out there, and we just feel so lost in the things that are happening in our life. We don't have any idea what our next move should be. We have more questions than we do have answers. And when we look at other people's parenting, when we look at other families, it feels like everyone else is mom and dad of the year. Is mom and dad of the year. And we feel inside like we're blowing it and we're messing things up, because you see everyone's pictures on Facebook, they're off having vacations, they're doing this, and everybody's smiling. And you know your own reality, right? And that's what social media does to us. But the reality is that that's not their reality, because we usually put our best forward on social media. We all have these challenges and we all have these struggles. And I just wanted to say to you that today I am preaching out of my own brokenness. I'm preaching out of my own failures and my own struggles. I am not an expert in this matter whatsoever. But I do believe that oftentimes it's out of our mistakes. It's out of our challenges that I think we all grow and we can all learn from that. As a matter of fact, it's so easy, because, and it's such a challenge, because as a pastor, you know, everyone has an idea of how the pastor ought to live. Everyone has an idea of what the pastor's marriage ought to look like. And everybody has an idea of what the pastor's parenting ought to look like and how the pastor's kids ought to act. And so some of you are here today, you have some opinions about that may not be helpful for you, because you've seen from time to time that, yeah, Aaron and I have struggles when it comes to parenting. And so it's a challenge. It's a challenge. And so I'm teaching to you out of my brokenness, out of learning and understanding what God has to say to us. So if you're struggling, if you have challenges in your life, well, then we're in good company today. So we're going to learn three parenting styles from the popcorn tin that can contribute to our struggles, and then we're going to look to God to help grow us. And so you guys are all familiar with the typical popcorn tin, right? And this just happens to have the best team in the whole world on it. And the best college and university in the whole world. Just 1 million people's personal opinion. No, just one man's personal opinion today. But the typical popcorn tin that you get comes with three kinds of popcorn, right? And so it's butter and cheese and caramel. And so we're going to start with the caramel. Now these new popcorn tins, they have chocolate in there and they have kettle corn. We're going with the traditional cheese, butter, and caramel. And so if you're taking notes, you have an insert in your bulletin. You can also go to your smartphone, and on your smartphone, on the YouVersion Bible app, you can go to events, and all the information is going to be in there, and you can interact with it there. But three parenting styles from the popcorn tin that can contribute to our challenges as parents. This first one is caramel popcorn. Caramel popcorn, you see, is where, I got to get a try, get a tug at this. Oh, man, that's pretty good. You guys got to get some of this. This is really good. That's just flying out of my mouth. So caramel popcorn, parents, is where we really struggle to be stuck to our children. We're always stuck to our children, and we wind up smothering our children. We're overprotective, we're overreactive, and we never let our kids out of our sight, or we really struggle with letting our kids out of our sight. And without speaking about it, without a spoken word, our children are the ones that are calling the shots in our families. Our children are the ones that have taken control of our households without even it being a spoken word. And the problem and the challenge and the root of this is the attention myth, that our kids need our attention all of the time. Now, while that's true at first, the older a child gets, the more we need to learn to let go. And that's a natural process of parenting. And it sounds good on paper, but it's such a hard thing to do, isn't it? Such a hard thing to do. Elizabeth's 9 years old. She's going to be 10 in July. This girl is going off to a week of camp down in Hocking Hills. And this dad is nervous about that whole deal. She's excited about it. She could just care less about dad and mom. She's ready to go. She's ready to tackle the wilderness and hang out with kids all week. We've never had that experience before with her. This will be the first time she's gone and done that. She's not going to be with people that she's going to know. And what's going to happen? Is she going to be okay? Is a grizzly bear going to get her? Is she going to get in poison ivy? I mean, are there going to be counselors that are going to be good? Are she going to be taught the right things? I mean, what about what she's going to eat? We got to be there. And can some of you relate to that moment? And you got to, in that moment, learn to let go. Isabel, she's going to be in the sixth grade next year. And that means she's going to be transitioning from our children's ministry here at the church into our youth ministry. And so she's not going to be overseen by Heather Matarazzo and amazing people like Linda Hatfield anymore in our children's ministry. Give God a hand for what God does in our children's ministry. Heather and Linda and all you servant volunteers out there, God is good. God is good. We have a tremendous servant base. Many of you here, you serve in our children's ministry. And that's one of the reasons why Rolling Plains is such a vital church, because we believe in the power of God through family, through young people, through children and youth and all types of family units. But she's going to be moving on to Heather, and she's going to be going into the youth ministry, and she's going to be led by Bo Daly, and I'm scared to death. And I'm scared to death. I love Bo. God bless Bo. But I'm not ready for that transition yet. I'm not ready for my baby girl to grow up, and I'm not ready to let go. I'm just blown away by that moment. I think every single one of us can relate to that place where it's just so hard to let go, and we want to be sticky, and we want to get stuck to them. And what we need to hear is a definition of parenting today, a simple definition. If you're taking notes, it is training your child to leave the house. Can I get an amen? Because someday they should be leaving the house. Amen. Praise be to God. But right now we love our kids, and we'll still love our kids. But we need to train our kids to leave the house. In Genesis, the Bible says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. So in their young life, we need to help them learn to let go. We need to help them be able to explore. They want to go bike riding. They want to be out of our sight. They're going to fall down and they're going to get hurt. They're going to want to go to the sleepover. They're going to want to go to that party as a teenager. And eventually they're going to want the keys to the car. And so we do all these things as parents because they want to do all these things. And so the things we do as parents, we need to learn to let them make mistakes while they're living with us in our household, so that someday when they go and make those mistakes, it's not the first time, and they will have had our training. They will have had our presence to work with them. And that means that we need to learn to teach them to be trustworthy. I am preaching to myself first here. This is one of our greatest challenges, at least for me, is this whole idea of being a sticky parent. Now, I learned growing up with my parents that they let me do things. I was able to go to my friend's house even as a young person, 10 or 12 years old, and I rode my bike down to my friend's house. It was a half a mile down the street, down a country road, and I'd go to my buddy's house, and I'd play there all day. And so I earned my parents' trust because I was back on time when I needed to be on time, and that built into things, like being able to build a bike ramp on the side of our property. You know, now it's like a skate park for most young people, but we had these bike ramps. We'd make them out of wood, and these ramps were like this tall and this long, and we'd put them on the side of the house. We'd get back on our BMX bikes, and we'd race down, and we'd jump those bikes, and we'd wind up with bruises and busted lips and everything else. But my parents, God bless them, they let me do those kinds of things. So we were building trust, and so I learned to be trustworthy. So as a teen, I was learning to earn their trust with curfews. So as I got older, my curfew became less and less as far as needing to have a curfew, because I was proving trustworthy with the curfew that I had, to the point where I remember as a 16, 17, 18-year-old, and I was driving, I didn't necessarily have a curfew, because why? I was checking in, I was calling my parents, I was letting them know where I was going to be, and they didn't worry about it. And they also knew I would always come home in a reasonable hour. And if I didn't, I'd immediately call them. I was typically in a house by 11 o'clock. So we were building trust as a young person and as a teenager. And so this is the challenge. It's hard because kids want to do things. Kid wants to try new things and do new stuff. And so for Carmel parents, it's a hard time learning to trust. You know, oftentimes when it starts when the kid wants to go to the house for the very first time of a friend, you know, your young child, I want to go to so-and-so's house. And as a parent, your mind starts to race. Like, do I know the parents? You know, how do they parent? Is the parenting style like me? What are they going to get taught over there? Do they have an older brother, or a sister, or a sibling? Are the parents going to be home? What are they going to play? What kind of attitudes do they have? And you think, are they going to be okay and safe? And so that happens as a young person. But even as a teenager, when we have teenagers, so the new question is, okay, so they're going to the party. Are there going to be adults around? Is the opposite sex going to be around? And all these questions start to get to the point where, you know, letting your child go to a friend's house is one of the first places where we really need to learn to let go. And the challenge is that when trust is broken, after you've been earning trust for a while, as a parent, there is a need to pull back from time to time. But then you need to learn to trust all over again. And Aaron and I are still trying to figure out and navigate and learn that rhythm as we have teenagers in our household and we also have younger children in our household. And we're trying to figure that out. What I do know about trust is that it takes years and years to build. And trust takes a second to be lost. Amen. I mean, trust takes years and years to build, but it takes a nanosecond to be lost. And we need to pay attention to that and be reminded of that, both as parents, but also you young people out there, you need to hear that message. And the more trust we can build with our kids, the more trusty they'll become, and the more we'll let them do as we learn to allow them to be trustworthy. So we need to teach them to be trustworthy, caramel popcorn parents. But we also, caramel popcorn parents, need to put your needs above your children's needs, moms and dads. And so I think sometimes as caramel popcorn parents, we get our priorities out of whack. We get so stuck to and overprotective of our kids that we can't stick to our mate. We get so stuck to and overprotective of our kids that we can't stick to our husband. We can't stick to our spouse. We can't stick to our wife. And we can't even stick to God because our kids have so overrun our household. And without saying it, our kids are running the household. I know some of this is speaking to some of you here today. And if it's not, you know of somebody that it could be speaking to. And so in our household, one of the great challenges and one of the great questions that happens about 20 times a day is, hey, Dad, yeah, can I help you? Where's Mom? Where's Mom? Where's Mom? Where's Mom at? Where's Mom? Where's Mom? And Erin, God bless her soul, the only time that she can get a reprieve is to go into the bathroom in our master bedroom and shut the door and just hang out in there and do whatever for a moment so she could just catch a breath. I know I'm talking to some of the right ladies here today. And so what happens is that, you know what? That's not even the best line of defense because the kids come to the door. Hey, Mom, what are you doing in there? Well, I don't know, you know, showering, you know, doing what nature calls. Listen, can I get 5 seconds? Can I get 5 minutes? And what happens is that our kids become such a priority in our life that we can't even get together with our spouses and have a relationship and nurture that. And we can't even get to with God and have a quiet moment with God. And so we can't even take a break. We can't even get a quiet moment. We can't even build these kinds of relationships. And so we have no time for our marriage. We have no time for quiet moments with God. We have no time to talk with our spouses. We have no time to go out on dates. And when we do go out on dates, guess what we talk about? That's right. We talk about our kids. And if you're grandparents, what do you talk about? Your kids, your grandkids. And you just talk about that. And so God is saying, listen, we need a new relational priority. And according to God, and by the way, I want to applaud the single parents out there. Some of you have gone through divorce. You're broken. And we're not here to beat on you for that. We're here to encourage you to say, God bless you. We want to do what we can as a church to help you. We're going to come alongside of you. We're going to love on you. Aren't we, Rolling Plains Church? We're going to do whatever we can for our single parents. Because in some cases, you guys are rock stars, and I don't know how you do it, and I could never do it. And we're here to be beside you. But I want to talk to those of you that are still a unit together. Your husband and wife, praise be to God. I pray that your marriages last for many, many years. In those moments, the greatest gift you can give your kids is a healthy and amazing marriage. And guess what it takes to have a great marriage? It takes heat. It takes heat to make popcorn, right? And so if you're going to have a great household and a great marriage, you need some marital heat in your life. And the only way to have marital heat so that you can have a great family is to get away and to focus on that family. So here's the priority. God, some of you take a deep breath because you're not going to get this. You're going to think, oh my goodness. Well, is that in the Bible? It is. This is in the Bible somewhere. The relational priority is God, kids. No, God, spouse, kids. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, we need to order some ambulances here or something. Because for the first time, we finally heard it in some clarity. Because for some of you, your kids are running the house and your kids are more important to God. You're not making it that way, but it's happening. More important than God and even more important than your spouse. And we do that in the name of blessing our kids. You want to give your kids a blessing? Have the greatest marriage you could ever have. And when you have a great marriage in front of your kids, you're going to have great kids because your kids are going to witness your love and affection for one another. They're going to witness the grace that comes out of the arguments and the fights and the battles that happen in the house. They're going to have a chance to witness healthy resolution when conflict arises. This is the greatest gift that you can give your kids. Now, single parents out there, you know, you can give them all kinds of gifts, but I'm talking to the married couples right now, okay? Talking to the married couples, I say, if you want to bless your kids, start blessing your marriage. And that might mean that your kids aren't the first priority. So for Aaron and for me, we really work hard and we have to work hard and going out on a date, and we try not to talk about the kids when we go out. We try to get away. From time to time, even we'll have some parents come in, extended parents, my parents, her parents, watch the kids. We'll go out on an overnight getaway somewhere, and we'll just get away. Sometimes Aaron and I will feed the kids, and once the kids are fed, just because of the schedule, maybe I'm coming home late, Aaron will sit down and she'll wait and she'll have dinner with me, and the kids are just going to go off and do their own activities. And when they come back to the table with a need, what do we say? Mommy and Daddy are talking right now. We love you. We're going to help you unless you're beaten, bloody, or bludgeoned. You're not the priority right now. You know, this marriage is the priority. And that teaches them things. They pay attention to that. And they say, whoa, I get it in this household that it's God, mom and dad, and then me. I'm not at the center of the universe. And we're going to get to that point and that moment in just a second. So as caramel popcorn parents, we need to learn to let go and produce trust in our kids. But we also need to make sure that we're putting our spouses first. And by the way, a great place to put your spouse first is this Saturday, a week from last night. We got a married couples event happening here at the church. You can bring the kids and you can leave them. I think we're going to have people watching kids. You can get a sitter and have the kids stay at home. But forget about the kids. Come and enjoy your marriage and celebrate it. It is a week from yesterday. It's this coming Saturday. Come on out. I believe it starts at 7 o'clock. Is that right? 7 o'clock this Saturday. Come check it out. So now we need to move on to cheesy popcorn parents, and we have the caramel popcorn parents, and of course, I'm going to eat in front of you again because this is good stuff. Cheesy popcorn parents. Some of you are jealous, man. Listen, you got to be a preacher to have popcorn today. And so you get to the cheesy popcorn parents. And here's our challenge as cheesy popcorn parents is our actions are over the top and cheesy. Our actions are over the top and cheesy because we want our kids to be our best friends. And we want them to like us as parents. Who doesn't want to be liked by their kids? It's such a great pull. It's such a great challenge. We want to identify with our kids. We want to be at the same level with our kids. We want to be one of the guys. We want to be one of the gals. We want them to think that we're hip and that we're cool and we're one of their homies. I mean, that we're just at the level of the rest of their teenage friends or their young people friends and that we get it. But then, honestly, oftentimes we don't get it. We've been there, but we don't know exactly what they're going through. And that's not the goal anyways. But what happens is that in that cheesy popcorn parent mode is we wind up giving our kids everything they want whenever they want. We overdo it at Christmas time, and we wind up overdoing almost everything. And I think for moms and dads, it's a little bit different. I think sometimes moms really struggle with this as a cheesy popcorn parent because oftentimes this child fills a void of affirmation and intimacy that maybe mom, you didn't have when you grew up. Or maybe mom, now that you have because, well, dad's not around anymore or your husband's not around anymore. And so now your kids become the focal point of your life and they become so important and they feed a need that you have in your life. And dads, our greatest challenge here is, man, our greatest struggle and challenge here is around the idea of extracurricular activities. Because with dads, you know, sometimes we want to live vicariously through our kids. And we want them to be really good at the things that we were really good at growing up. All right? And we're going to pour our life and our heart into that. Or, dads, we want them to be really good at the things we wish we were really good at growing up, and now we're going to live vicariously through them. Am I talking to some of the right folk here today? And so what happens is that we wind up putting our kids in an unhealthy place, and it winds up putting our friendship and our feelings for them and our desire to be at the same level to the top. But what God is saying, and this is so hard to do, is we need to manage our children's schedules. And I think that really shows up around extracurricular activities. I mean, you remember when sports used to be a season? There used to be something such as a season of sports. It wasn't all year long basketball, all year long football, all year long soccer, all year. And not just that, but there are so many awesome things for our kids to get involved in out there. I mean, there's great opportunities like 4-H-ing and scouting and getting involved in a band and doing concerts and plays and pageants and sports and clubs and math contests and going to physics contests. And I mean, there are 1,001 things, and they're all cool things. They're all really, really good things. And it's so hard as a parent to navigate that schedule, but pretty soon what happens is We put our kids at the center of our world, and therefore their schedules start to run our household. So here's what we need to do is we need to make sure that we're supporting them in the way that God has gifted them to go, if you're taking notes. We need to support them in the way that God has gifted them to go and to make sure that he is at the center. Because oftentimes our kids try to fill some kind of void in our life, and the only thing that can fill that void is Jesus Christ and to make sure that he's the priority. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, train a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. And when they're old, they will not turn from it. Did you know that that's the goal of parenting? To raise your child up in the way that they should go, right? Someday we're raising them up so that they can leave the house. Give me another amen. Amen. That's the goal of parenting. And so if we're going to do that, we need to equip them to be able to be raised up in the natural gifts and talents that God has given them. And not every child is going to be having the same talents and aspirations. And they certainly may not match your talents and aspirations when you grew up. So we need to make sure that, like for Tana has a heart for ministry. She loves to put videos together on YouTube, and she posts them on Facebook about prayer, about worship, about passion. And I just sense there's a spirit growing in her. So we want to nurture that any way we can. She has a heart now to go to Muskingum University, and that's great if she wasn't leaving the Ohio Ohio State University to do it. You know, because this dad was a little bit challenged when she says, well, I'm not going to go to Ohio State Newark anymore. I want to go to Muskingum. And I had to pull back and say, you know what? This isn't about me. This is about her. This is about what's best for her. She's got a dream to go to Muskingum. I'm going to support that any way I can. I'm going to get excited for her and believe in her for that. You know, and Austin is not the same as Tana, and she's not the same as him. He's a three-sport athlete. You know, you put a ball in his hands, he can do anything with that ball. It doesn't matter. It could be a pool ball. It could be a tennis ball. It could be a racquetball, basketball, baseball, football. He's just naturally talented at sports, and so we're going to try to feed that. What you don't know about Austin, he's a three-sport athlete, baseball, basketball, football. He's good at anything else, but he's also a closet musician. He's a closet musician, and he does a really cool job with the piano and the keyboard. He does a really cool job with the guitar, and most of us don't know that because he does it in his closet. He does it in the bedroom at the house, and every once in a while, he'll come to the church, and he might play on the piano a little bit, and I'll hear the next day someone said, man, I didn't know your son can play. He's really good, and I'll go home, and what do I say to him? Man, someone said, you're really good at that piano thing. And I just wanted you to hear that, so we kind of nurture that gift in him. You know, Isabel and Elizabeth, they have their own set of things. Elizabeth loves animals. I think someday she's going to grow up to be a veterinarian. She would love it if she could go up to the Iditarod and mush sled dogs. She would love to do that. And Elizabeth just has a heart for those kinds of things, and that's just who she is. And so in this moment, she also loves archery, and we're in a great neighborhood for people who love archery, and so we've kind of been feeding that gift in her. And so Isabel loves baby dolls. If you've ever seen her with her baby dolls, some of them are so real that people at Walmart stop and wonder how this 11-year-old young lady is walking around with a baby in her arms caring for her, and what in the world are mom and dad doing? Letting her have full reign. It's just a baby doll, but not to her. I mean, she is a nurturer. She loves people. She loves to hang out with people, and she really enjoys being in the band, and she's spreading her wings and building relationships, and we don't know if the band thing's going to work out, but we're not going to force it on her, but at the same time, we're going to encourage her in it. So what we do as parents is we try to support our children in the way that they should go, but at the same time, we need to lead our children into the right priorities. Watch this now. We give them the freedom to discover what it is that God has created them to do, but at the same time, we lead our children into right priorities in life. In Proverbs, the Bible says in chapter 3, verse 6, in everything you do, put God first. So like I just said earlier, as a church, we're not going to be distracted from what the main thing is in life. The most important thing in life is Jesus Christ in a relationship with him. And it's the same in our households. We need to make sure that as cheesy popcorn parents, we are putting God first in everything that we do. Because our great role as a parent is to establish a foundation of what matters the most. And what matters the most is a relationship with God. It is the priority in our life. It is the priority in our household. Remember, God, spouse, child. God is the priority. And so when God is at the center of our universe and not us, when God is at the center of our universe, it doesn't allow our kids to be at the center of our universe anymore. And that's one of the greatest pressures as a family, is to allow our children into the center, because we've forgotten about focusing our household around the greatest and most important thing in the world, and that is our relationship with God. And because of that, it's so easy to lose perspectives. As I've just talked about, ECAs, extracurricular activities, can dominate a schedule. It can dominate our finances and take us from what matters the most, our family and getting involved in God's local church, because he is the priority. So for us, a couple things we practice. This is our family. It may not be yours, but our family, we learn to limit our kid to one activity. Each child gets one activity. Now we break that every once in a while, but we allow them to be involved in one activity because we have four kids. Now, if each child is involved in three activities, you multiply that by four, and all of a sudden you have 12 things to go to. And no matter, and no wonder why some of you are out there killing yourselves in your relationships, trying to get to here and to there, and you can't get to the things that matter the most in your life because, well, the kids' schedules and their life is running your household. And so for us, our family, we've also said, you know what, and those activities can't be something that's going to interfere with our Sunday mornings. That's our household. We've made that decision. And so also with our children, we don't give our kids and our teens the option of whether they're going to be involved in important things like church. You know, children's ministry. You know, our kids are going to be involved in children's ministry. Youth ministry. Our teens are going to be involved in youth ministries. Well, I don't feel like going tonight. Well, you understand that this is a priority, and it doesn't matter whether you like to go, you feel like going tonight. You're going. And that's what the way I was raised, and that's the way I was taught. And I think sometimes we get so worried. Oh, my goodness, it's a cheesy popcorn parent. If I press, they may resist God. They may resist the church. They may not like me. You know what? If your child likes you all of the time, every single day, if you never have any kind of pushback with your child, then you haven't done, in that moment, stepped into the parenting realm. Because oftentimes parenting isn't doing what the child loves all of the time. Sometimes it means pushing back, and it means impressing things on your child. And that's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, in chapter 6, verses 6 to 7. And it says, these commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. And so if we're going to impress something, sometimes there's a struggle. Sometimes there's strife. Sometimes there's pressure in order to impress something. And I remember as a kid growing up, my parents impressed a lot of things on me, sometimes on my rear end. You know? Now, I'm not advocating corporal punishment. That's for your decision to be made. I'm not here to tell you that it's right or wrong for your family. But when I grew up, man, I got impressed on my hind end more times than not. And it impressed upon this guy's brain to say, I probably better not do that again. And so there's these moments where we lift out of this desire to be friends with our children in order to be able to help them along the right path and to make sure that God is a priority. And so God says, impress on your kids that I am a priority. Parents, we model Christ to our kids, and they do what we do. They're gonna say what we say. They're going to pay attention to what we don't do. They're going to pay attention to what we don't say. And so we need to model Christ's love and grace. But at the same time, we need to model Christ's discipline and his call to obedience in our life. Because they're going to see all we do, and they're going to see what we make a priority, and they're going to learn to make those things a priority. And that makes an impression on our kids. And so as a child, we went to church every single Sunday morning, and that's just what we did. And I would look at my parents on Saturday nights. I'd be coming home from a friend's house. Do we have to go to church on Sunday morning? Yes, that's what we do. Okay, we're going to church. Now you think, well, did that drive you out of the church? Well, I'm in the church today. I happen to be a pastor of a church, and so it didn't drive me out of the church. It didn't turn me from God. But what it did do when I got to college, even though my faith wasn't important to me growing up as a teenager and as a young person, when I got to college and things started to fall apart, I had a foundation to go to in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so God, through my parents, set me up on a foundation. You know, there's days I didn't want to go to youth group, and I was going to go. There's days I didn't feel like going to church on a Sunday morning, and we were going. And it created me in a priority, and it created in me this foundation. And so that's what we need as cheesy popcorn parents, is also, therefore, to support them in the way that they should go, but also to dare to discipline. We need to dare to discipline as we guide them into the most important things. And cheesy popcorn parents, we tend to shy away from discipline because if we discipline our child, they may not like us. And that could get to the moment of heartbreak for some of us. In Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says, my child, don't ignore it when the Lord disciplines you, and don't be discouraged when he corrects you. For the Lord God corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. And so if we're going to show our child unconditional love that God shows us, we also offer discipline because discipline is a part of loving people. And God offers us love, and by loving us, he offers us discipline. Discipline is a form of love. And so we're going to love them enough that when they're off the path, we're going to offer them loving correction and loving consequences to help them grow. This is why God put discipline in your life, so that we could grow, because he loves us. And this is why God has put you in the life of your child, parents. You're there so you can offer loving correction and discipline and help them go where they need to go. I want to tell you something here right now. Your child will have plenty of friends over the course of their life, but they probably only have one dad. Probably going to only have one mom. Now, I understand that some of you are in step-parent relationships, your stepmom, stepdad, or your child, and you have a stepmom or stepdad. I get that, okay? But parents aren't a dime a dozen. God gives you a mom and a dad for a reason and a purpose, and it isn't always to be first and foremost a great friend. It's to be a mom, and it's to be a dad, and that may mean we may need to do things that might break our kids' hearts, and it might break our hearts because we want to be friends, but the goal is that God has given them great friends, but he's given you as their parents. So that's what we need to pay attention to there, cheesy popcorn parents. And the last one is the buttery popcorn parents, all right? Buttery popcorn parents. That's good. Salty, buttery. You guys may not remember anything from this sermon, but you'll remember the popcorn tin, won't you? You remember the popcorn tin. And so buttery popcorn parents, our role is kind of slippery. It's kind of slippery because of the butter and the buttery nature. And we don't know, you know, we don't know who does what in our household. We don't know who's in charge. And parents slip from leadership, and there's just no structure or defined lines. There's no set of expectations to be held to, and the kids are confused, and they're slipping and sliding all around because we kind of carry this myth that everybody in the family is equal, that everybody in the family ought to be able to get an equal say. And so what do we do when it comes to discipline with our kids? Sometimes we'll sit down with our kids, and we'll just kind of share with them, well, what is it you would like me to do for you? How should we punish you in this situation? Now, I've been there before because I just get to the point where I pull my hair out and I feel like nothing's working. I sit down, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond to what you did or what you just said? Or how can we work through this kinds of thing? Tell me what to do. But the problem is that children want to do what they want to do. That's the nature of a child. And as parents, we need to make sure we're drawing clearly definable lines because kids are desperate for structure. They long for structure because it brings a security and safety. Don't believe that the opposite of that is true. Kids long for structure, and they long for definable lines. In the Bible, Psalm says in chapter 40, verse 2, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." So why does it seem like our children are always pushing us and testing us? It's because they are. Because that's what they're doing. It's the nature of the father-son, father-daughter, mother-son, mother-daughter relationship. They're going to test us so that they can figure out where the edge is. And I'm here to tell you, they're hoping there's an edge. They're hoping there's going to be a line. They're hoping that you're going to give them pushback. Because if not, they want to know how far they can go. They want to know that somebody's in charge. They want to know that somebody has this, that somebody has direction, because it brings stability. And so as an adult, we know this because it is such a blessing to know that God is bigger than we are. As an adult, I'm blessed to know that God has life in his hands. He has my challenges and trials in his hands, and he's going to care for all of those things. And it's a blessing to know that. And so knowing that in this life, it's an amazing opportunity to realize that if we want that as adults, then we need to make sure we're offering that as kids. Because they want to know if there are clearly definable lines. They want to know if mom and dad are going to be there to push back. They want to know if there's structure, because it brings peace. And a lot of us struggle. We were like Etch-a-Sketch parents. Remember Etch-a-Sketches? You draw out a line with your Etch-a-Sketch, and all you have to do is shake it, and the line would be gone, or the line would be moved. And I think sometimes buttery parents, popcorn parents, we get into this place where we slip and slide around, and our kids are just, they're filled with fear and worry and concern, because they don't know what's going to set mom and dad off. They don't know where things are going. They don't know where the lines are in the household. And that's one of the greatest gifts, structure. It's one of the greatest gifts that God is telling you can give your kids. But we need to make sure, first and foremost, that we're parenting with a unified front, because this is where our marriages can be the most challenged. Parent with a unified front, because our kids are going to probe. They're going to test the relationship, and they're going to do the best thing they can to press mom and dad so they can get the best answer from either mom or dad. So one of the questions I always ask when my kids want to do something is to say, "What did mom say? Did mom say you could have that second half gallon ice cream? Because I didn't know if you had the first one or not." Okay? "Did mom say you could go to the friend's house? Because I didn't know last time there was a bad incident there, and maybe she doesn't want you going there." And so I'm always saying, "What did your mom say?" That will make a marriage healthy. You know, you back each other up. If you want to damage a marriage, make sure that you're undercutting your spouse. Make sure that you tell your kids and give them permission to do what mom and dad already said they couldn't do. And do it in front of them, as a matter of fact. Do it behind their backs. That will destroy and deteriorate your marriage quicker than anything. So parents, we have got to feed our kids healthy things. Let's not feed them from the can. Let's not limit ourselves to the tin. Let's not feed them junk. Not sticky, not cheesy, not slippery, but let's do it God's way and give them a healthy dose of family and give them a healthy dose of loving parents. And so a couple of action steps for us today. Put God first in your family in regular worship, serving, and giving. Make him the priority. And tell your kids, teach your kids, show your kids that worship and serving and giving and getting in a life group and studying God's word together, that is the priority. Number two, develop a parenting plan together with your spouse and stick with it and watch what God does. We serve a good God, and he gives us all of the answers, even to the most simplest and most challenging of life's challenges. God is good.